Hello, horror, wine, and crime. Welcome back to another episode with KK and Low. Low, how goes it? It's our first time back in the virtual studio in a minute.
What up? I wish you were still next to me recording, but, you know, we do what we do.
Yep.
We do what we can.
Do what we can. But at least Low hooked me up, like I mentioned, I think, weeks ago, I think. She hooked me up with a webcam so she can see my face now, at least. It's not just an audio thing for her.
And it's such a beautiful face. Mwah.
Oh, thank you. I would disagree at the moment, but I appreciate it.
If I could smack a bitch through the phone, I would.
Hey, you know, that's my thing. My fist always gets close to the camera coming at you. Jokes, people, jokes.
I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
I'm magical. My fist one day will make it through the camera. I'll be like the Ring girl. I'll like come like through the TV. I'm like actually punch you.
Oh my gosh. I would probably just laugh. Like
you would.
I'd be like, what the hell just happened? I don't know, but it's really funny.
You'd be like, is this one of my weird dreams again?
So before we do start off the show, I do want to give a little bit of a shout out because, so if you remember, I don't even know how long it's been when we went and talked to Tina Renee.
Oh my gosh. That was in like August of 2023, I believe.
2023. Okay. So. Well, I want to give her a shout out because I seen one of her TikToks and it seemed like she was kind of down because that was when the whole TikTok might be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been using her platform to share her story, which is an amazing story. And so I commented to her that we were listening and if she needed us. And she proceeded to tell me that she listens to every one of our episodes. So aww. I wanted to give her a little shout out and be like, hey, girl, hey, to Tina.
Shout out, Tina. We love you. You're freaking awesome. You know, it's so funny, too. That's so weird that you say that, like a ding, ding, ding moment, because I went over to see my family last night and my sister doesn't have TikTok and I was showing her something on TikTok and then one of Tina's videos popped up and she's like, who's that? Because she saw like I was friends with her on there and then I told her about her. So it's just so funny that like you just brought her up too. So shout out to Tina.
Totally. You just let us know what you need. We got you, girl. We got you.
Got you always. So, yeah, I can't believe how long ago that was that we talked about. If you guys haven't listened to those episodes, there's three of them, and they're amazing. So please go listen because, yeah, they were
and amazing. It's her telling her own story. Like, we're there, and we're recording, and we ask questions along the way, but it's her voice, her story, her vulnerability, and I loved it. That was probably one of our favorite things that we did. So.
Oh, yeah, that was incredible. So yeah, definitely shout out to her.
And Philip, he probably doesn't listen because of the type of show it is, but in case she is listening, we'll say hi to Philip too.
Yes. Maybe when he's older,
right?
We'll listen to the show.
Like, you got some creepy friends, Mom.
Yeah.
So Kay just got back from Florida, so she's got the vitamin D flowing through her, so she's welcome back to the D.
Thank you. I would say it's good to be back, but I told Lo I stepped off the plane and immediately saw my breath, and I was repulsed.
Well, yeah, you came back on a day that was -3 outside, and you're come home.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible because it was like 80-something degrees when I was there. Now, I mean, we went on the right weekend because now it's like snowing there, which is crazy. But yeah, when I was there, luckily it was in the 80s. It was beautiful. I didn't want to leave. And yeah, half of the people that I went with are like sick now because probably the insane temperature difference going on. But
well, I feel like everything's going around everywhere right now. Like,
true. Yeah, so many people are sick. I don't even remember what the two big ones going around are called.
The bird flu.
Is that one? Okay. There's one that's like
And
a
then there's like walking pneumonia,
that's one, and
the
then there's like one that
flu.
starts with like an N. I don't remember what it's called. It's like a new name,
Okay,
but
well.
they're going around big time, so stay safe out there.
Right. Oh my So yeah, my kids are off this week. This is a really cool concept, and I kind of like it. So this is final exam week. Well, we're on our third snow day because it's been so, we had 2 cold days and then it snowed. So there's snow day. So Charlotte has to go in from school from 9:30 to 11 to take one exam. If you have less than 10 absences, you can bow out of taking your final exam and it won't affect your grade.
That's amazing. Wow.
Unfortunately, Charlotte's history is a little bit lower than we like, so she's going to go take it and try to get it back up there. But that's the
Right.
only one she has to take. And then because it was supposed to be today, we had a snow day, so she's going to go tomorrow. And then Friday and Monday will probably be closed because they're going to transfer over to next week for exams. So
She
she's
living her
sitting
best
pretty.
life.
And they didn't go to school at all this week because Monday started Martin Luther King Day, so they're
Oh
closed
yeah,
for
that's
that.
right.
They're on their third snow day. I'm like, dang girl, it's gonna be like Wednesday before you go back to school. So
Man, nice little break for them. That's
yep.
awesome. Man, I miss snow days as a kid.
I know I get all
You just
excited for it, and then I don't need, I'm like, oh wait, you're an adult, you have to work.
Right.
So
Oh
why are
shoot,
you
wait. I
excited?
still have to work.
The only excitement is my alarm gets to go off like an hour later.
Right. There's one benefit then, at least.
Yeah.
But still, oh my gosh, those were the best when you get multiple in a row too. I loved that.
Yeah. And then of course my boss says to be to work at 8:30, and then I'm just living life like I'll just get there when I get there. Shut
Your boss who
up.
lives in Florida.
Yeah.
You're
I'm
like,
like,
you don't
just
know
be
the
happy that I'm
struggle.
going in, okay? Just be happy that I'm showing
Right.
up, okay? Because
Oh, I remember those days. It's rough getting the equipment in and out of the car and yeah. No. Frozen
defrosting all your,
bottles.
yeah, I'm defrosting them in my client's sink today in hot water. I'm
Yep.
like, sorry, I got to frost my sprays before I can use them. So, how are you today?
Oh, so annoying.
Yeah, and they live on a hill because it was Beckman. So, you know, their driveway. It's
I've never
like,
been there.
okay, it's a very steep hill. And at the bottom of it is the street, and then grass and a ditch, and then like a little river. So,
Are
my
you
car.
terrified driving up it and down it?
Yeah, today they're like, park in the garage so you don't slide back down. So they cleared out their car so I could park in the garage. It took me 2 tries to get up. And then when I was leaving, she's like, just be very, very careful going back down. She's like, I've ended up in the ditch twice, you know? And I'm like, okay. She's like, I'm gonna watch you, make sure you get out. I was like, oh my God, no pressure. Now you're gonna be watching me back out your driveway. And I'm scared and I'm like laughing. But then finally, I did it. And then I text her. I was like, I made it. Go me. Woohoo. What up? I was like, okay, I'm
Literally,
done. I'm
talk
not
about
making.
pressure, like pressure alone of like just not wanting to slide, but then also backing up, and then also her watching you do all this. I'd be like stressed.
I was like, I may aim for your mailbox to stop my car. I'd rather replace your mailbox than my car in the river.
Facts.
So
Damn. Well, I'm glad that you made it down safely.
I did. Go Michigan weather.
Oh my gosh, for real. Few more months.
I'm hoping it goes fast. We're already hitting February, so
Yep.
I'm just laughing because everyone's like, oh, we're gonna have such a mild winter. It's gonna be easy breezy. Bish.
It's freezing right
Bitches.
now.
Y'all a bunch of liars. People out there be lying to me about what this winter is gonna be like, okay? Because this has been nothing but not easy. Easy is not the
No.
word I would explain.
It's definitely been a gross winter so
Yeah.
far. Yeah.
I've been loving my fireplace, so
Right.
I got that going for me. And
Yum.
my daughter bought me, sorry, I'm going to get to the store in a second. She bought me, we talked about it last week, but she bought me the Mike Sorrento book, The
Oh,
Situation.
yes.
And I've been reading it and I'm like, oh my God, I love it. Crystal, I should loan it to you. And I know you're not a huge avid reader, but I think you would like that one.
He did a good job on it.
He really did. If you'd have asked me back in 1997 or whenever the first Jersey Shore came out, that I'd be reading a biography by The Situation, I would have laughed in your face.
Yeah, I know, because he was a very, very different.
Yes. And I do like My Family Vacation. And I was actually thinking about it while I've been reading this book and taking in The Situation, right? If you look at all the guys, like, not counting the looks, because they're all pretty decent looking men, right? But if you take all of them over, like, their general personalities, they're just everything, I honestly think Mike is probably the best husband slash boyfriend material one.
Yes. Now, if you ask me.
Oh, yes, now.
Yeah.
I'm
first
talking about
season, if you ask me, I'd be like, no.
No. I'm talking since he got with Lawrence and had a baby and since he, you know, kicked his addiction, like since he became a real man. Like,
yeah.
I feel like if I had to pick one to have a life partner with, it probably, funny enough, would be Mike.
Yeah, I think so too, because he just seems like supportive and like there for them and like loyal. And we all know how Ronnie is. Pauly
D, boy. There's been rumors about Pauly. We don't know for sure. Yeah. Vinny, okay, you're good looking, you're funny, but why haven't you had a woman? Like, what's the red flags? Like, what are we not
seeing? Like, can't commit. That's what it is.
So I feel like Mike has that nurturing. He takes care of Lauren's. He takes care of his babies. I'm a little bit behind on the family vacations. But too, I feel like the new situation, which is ironic because in the very beginning, I probably would have been like Pauly.
Yeah, I would have thought him first. But now, yeah, after seeing him in this new like start reboot show, I would for sure say Mike too.
Isn't it funny how things like change?
Yeah.
So shout out Situation.
We love you.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you about this situation.
Nice. I like the transition.
And there definitely isn't any GTL in here, okay? So this story that you're going to hear today, it's actually about, it's a missing person story, a mother and a daughter, which is heartbreaking. It's really sad when a woman goes missing, but it's really sad when a child is involved in it too.
Oh, yeah.
And it comes from Robertson County, Tennessee, which is located on the central northern border of Tennessee. Jennifer Wicks, she was born August 16th, 1982. Adriana was born January 14th, 2002. That would make Jennifer a pretty young mom. But in all reality, she did not mind it at all because she loved that baby girl to the moon and back. Like, Adriana became her everything. The relationship between Jennifer and Adriana's father, it didn't work out, but that didn't stop her from being the best mother she could be. From birth, Jennifer started sharing her love of animals with her daughter, and they would frequent the zoo quite a bit. It was one of their little favorite places to go together. Jennifer was 19 and recently graduated high school. Casey, her sister, would help care for her niece so Jennifer could work nights. About a year and a half after Adriana was born, the close dynamic would kind of take a shift, though. Jennifer was living with her mother at the time and two younger sisters while caring for the baby. But again, things would change. Jennifer's cousin, Jeff, introduced Joey Benton to Jennifer. They'd gone to high school together, but only connected romantically after. According to an old schoolmate, it was said that she went to high school with Joey, and she states that he played baseball, he kept himself, he had good grades, but it seems like there was something that might have changed because after high school, this classmate said that he got into some more wild things, including partying and other stuff. Other stuff doesn't sound great.
Mm-mm, it doesn't, especially after following partying. It's like, ooh. Yeah.
They hit it off really well, and they started spending a lot of time together. Eventually, Jennifer and Joey started dating. Things were going really well, you know, until they weren't. The relationship wasn't healthy. There was arguing. There was some reports of some pretty scary things happening. Well, why did Jennifer keep going back? Relationships like Jennifer are mentally and emotionally complicated, and it's not always that simple. So just be kind as you keep listening. Jennifer and Adriana spent a lot of time on this family's, Joey's family's, large compound. It was called the Owens Chapel Community of Cross Plains in Robertson County. But just 2 months into the relationship, the first big red flag fired off and Jennifer was terrified. She called her mother, Kathy, and said that, she called her mother, Kathy Nail, who was living in Las Vegas at the time. And she told Kathy that they got into an argument and that Joey pulled a gun and threatened to shoot her, Adriana, and himself.
Damn.
Jennifer got the heck out of there with her daughter and she and Joey broke up. 2 weeks later, Kathy and her sister Casey, they moved back. They bought a house and it was lucky enough that grandma was about to sell this house. So instead of selling it to the public, they're like, you know what? We'll take it. Jennifer and Adriana moved into the basement. And by basement, I mean like a basement apartment. It had like a walkway, like from the basement to outside, like those big sliding glass doors. It had a kitchen, a bathroom, living room. It was literally like in a basement apartment. The only way I pictured it in my brain was when I think of Roya's basement.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like what I think of, you know.
Right.
Like another whole house in the basement.
Yeah, a house on top of a house.
Yeah. But the breakup didn't last. Jennifer slowly got pulled back into Joey's life and they resumed dating again. And it kills me because, you know, I get young love, makeup, breakup, you know, but when there's a baby involved and, you know, he's not even the baby's dad, there's no blood bond there. I'm just like, oh, girl, the red flags, see them, please. Like, just, you know, and then a gun was involved, like, run. But again, like I said, it's not always that simple and it's not always that easy. So I'm not judging. Yeah. I'm just saying it hurts my heart.
Yeah, it's just sad because, you know, you don't really know what that's like unless you're in that position. Absolutely. But like on the outside looking in, it's just like, oh, it's just like, oh, you just want to be like, I want to help you.
Yeah, it's easy to point a finger, but you know.
Yeah.
So in August 2003, Jennifer decided that she and Adriana, who was 1.5 at the time, they were going to move in with Joey and his family on this enormous multi-acre family compound. The problem, though, that the building that Joey lived on was a compound barn. So Casey, her sister, describes this more like one of those little sheds that you get from Lowe's, and then you can kind of turn it into like a tiny house.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of where they were staying. They kind of tweaked it up. They made it livable. You know, it was what it was, but it was only halfway remodeled. They didn't have electricity in there and they didn't have running water. They didn't have heat. So they did try and beg and plead for her not to go back. Casey states that when he would go outside, they would even close the door and try to talk to her, but it got so bad that he even kicked in the door and knocked it off his hinges.
Oh, geez.
Jennifer and Joey ended up leaving the premises and they left Adriana in the care of her mother and her sister. But because Adriana is, you know, Jennifer's daughter, they ended up coming back for her. However, Casey did take Adriana into the back room and tried to shield her from everything that was going on and tried to protect her. And like, she doesn't need to be around this or see this, you know?
Yeah.
Police showed up, but by the time the police showed up, Jennifer had came back and got Adriana and they left. Due to that situation, Jennifer kind of shunned herself away from her sister and her mom. She would keep in contact with her dad and her grandma on her dad's side, but there wasn't much communication with Casey and Kathy. Now, Kathy and Casey both have birthdays in February. Jennifer did not show up for any of the parties. However, slowly, shortly after that, Jennifer started showing signs of life again. They did miss Adriana's second birthday, which was really hard for the family. But they were happy that she was starting to show the signs. She wanted to be part of the family again. Jennifer would bring Adriana to McDonald's where Casey worked, and she would hang out and let Adriana play in the play place. However, lurking around the corners, just a few feet away, would be Joey, because Jennifer was not allowed to go anywhere without him. And she didn't have a car, and she didn't have her own phone.
That's so tough. Like, there's no way of her escaping or, like, calling for help, like, at any time.
When she 100% always monitored, you know.
Yeah.
Jennifer would try to make phone calls to her family, and Casey had commented that she would always hear Joey in the background complaining, get off the phone, you're using all the minutes. It's early 2000 people. Okay, minutes were a thing in the beginning. Like, you had to call like after 7 or 8 to get the free minutes, you know. At this time, it sounds like Joey might have been trying to compensate for his past behaviors, because according to a post by someone, they claimed to be Joey's mom. It's not 100% verified, but they said that Joey had built Adriana a playhouse and got her a rocking horse for Christmas, and just all these lovely gifts were coming in. As lovely as that sounds, the signs of tragic relationship still starts to unravel. Jennifer cut herself off from her friends. She wasn't working. She didn't have a car. She didn't have a phone. Basically, full-blown isolation. By the following February, Casey's birthday rolled back around, and this time Jennifer makes an effort to go. However, that means Joey has to drive her because, well, trust issues.
Right.
So he parks at the corner house, and it's kind of just like, they live like in a little cul-de-sac. So he's just kind of like at the corner off to the side, lets Jennifer go in. She says happy birthday, gives hugs to the family, brings Adriana in to see everybody. And then they have to turn around and leave because time crunch. By this time, March rolls around. Not long after that, Jennifer does call her mom, stating that Adriana has trouble going to the bathroom. It hurts when she goes, and her mom told her to take her to the emergency room. Jennifer says, okay. She asked the parents and Joey if they would take her to the hospital, and Joey's mom says no. Apparently, she's in the medical field, and she didn't think it was an emergency. Jennifer called her grandmother on her dad's side, and she scooped them up. They took them to the ER. They ran some tests, and they said that Adriana did have some kind of vaginal infection. They said it wasn't really common for two-year-olds, but it also did not give her any antibiotics. So the next day, she followed up with her pediatrician, and the pediatrician said the same thing, but she said it could be something from just as simple as sitting in a diaper too long, or, you know, some other ideas of why it could happen. By this time, Jennifer, Joey, and Adriana, and Joey's parents are all living in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath little brick house because it is just too cold to stay in the barn. There's a lot of attention, and there's a lot of tension between Joey's mom and Jennifer. They did not get along. Casey, Jennifer's sister, goes on to say that rumors filled through the, you know, the social network and, you know, rumor mill that Joey was a mama's boy. He was her precious boy. He could do no wrong. She doted on him. And that probably stemmed a lot of jealousy when Jennifer came in, because now there's a new woman in the house and in Joey's life, and she just couldn't handle it. Joey also had a sister, but it sounds like Joey's mom just mostly focused on Joey. Now, it does say also that Joey's dad pretty much stayed out of the drama, but there were still a lot of issues between Jennifer and Joey's mom. March 24th. So this would be the night before Jennifer disappears with Adriana. Jennifer calls her mom, and she says she's crying. She's very upset. She says she's sitting there. She's fighting with Joey's parents. Joey apparently was sleeping or was in the back room, and they made Adriana lay back there with him. Adriana screaming and crying as well. The whole situation on the phone was very toxic, very ugly, and very loud. But I guess Joey could lay with Adriana and apparently like sleep right through the crying. I don't know. I don't know how that's a good thing, but. So Joey apparently was not calming the baby down. Kathy told Jennifer to go get Adriana out of the bed, take her to Jennifer's room, lay with her and keep her safe and keep her calm. And this was a lot for Adriana to hear as a toddler. I mean, all these adults fighting, like, this baby did not need to be in that house.
Yeah.
So Jennifer did just that. Kathy said, I can be on my way to get you. Jennifer said, no, you're not allowed here, meaning because Kathy didn't approve of Joey and Joey wasn't allowed at Kathy's. It was the whole thing, you know. Jennifer said, I'll handle it. I'll be fine. We're just going to go to bed. I'll call you in the morning. In an interview, Casey tells how Jennifer called her the next day and was on the phone with her dad for like 2 hours explaining everything that happened the night before. Her dad goes on to say that that was uncommon for Jennifer to be on the phone that long, but she just kept saying how scared she was. He asked, scared of who? She said, Joey's mom. Now, Jennifer's dad lives in Manchester, which is about an hour and a half south of where they are. He said, why don't you call Granny or call your mom, have somebody come and get you. And she said, no, Joey's coming home. We're going to go have a picnic and talk about everything that happened. So it did say that there was another birthday party for Adriana, and Jennifer's family did attend that one. They didn't really want to be there, but they tolerated the relationship because to maintain their bond and frequent communication with the girls, they had to play nice, so to speak. They wanted Jennifer to know that she had people who loved her, who she could confide in, who she could run to if she ever needed help, and basically just keep reaffirming we're here for you. Later that month, the barn being, well, a barn and too cold for anybody to even live in, the lows at night in the teens was very unbearable. So again, they packed everything back up, went back into Joey's parents' house, and it only seemed to make issues, well, fuel the fire even more again. Jennifer and Joey started arguing about something new. According to a post, Jennifer wanted to move back into the barn regardless of how cold it was, regardless that there was no running water or no heat. She said that she would rather live in there than to live in the same house as Joey's mom, which makes you wonder, like, how bad was it that you'd want to freeze your ass off than be in that house?
Right. And like, he sounds really bad. So if she was having more of an issue with his mom, then I'm like, damn, how bad was she?
Apple, fall, tree, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it turns out that there's a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs. Like, they would have, you know, gatherings. And, you know, the family hated it. They worried about it, Jennifer and Adriana being there. She's a baby. She doesn't need to be around all this partying. Jennifer wasn't a partier. She just wanted to take care of her kid, you know. And it sounds like there was just a lot of people that would crash at the Benton family on this property. And I mean, to me, that just sounds like way too people-y anyway. So, like,
right.
Like David hands, you know, like, ill. Jennifer and Kathy began to mend their relationship. They started to reconcile a little bit more. Jennifer started to spend, you know, again, more time with her family. Again, drop off pickups. Very short, though, because Joey was always not far behind. Okay, so going back to that phone call that she told her mom, called her mom about, she said she was going to go to sleep. She would handle it. She would call her tomorrow, but she never called. Again, she called and talked to her dad for a couple hours around 11 a.m. on Tuesday, but she also called her aunt but that was the last phone call that dad or aunt had got. Tennessee Missing and Unsolved Reports said that Jennifer called her father, confided in him about the issues with the family, but that's the last he heard of it. She did say that she was looking forward to seeing her dad on Sunday, and that's the last sentence she said to him. Around 1 p.m., her aunt called her mom and her sister and told her, you know, like, hey, I just talked to Jennifer. She was telling me about some problems. And they were saying, like, we haven't heard from her today. Have you? They told her that she was home alone with Joey's dad, and she was afraid that he was going to come out of the bedroom. It was also stated that Jennifer would call her aunt back in a few minutes, but she never got that phone call back either. In fact, no calls ever came back from Jennifer again. Kathy didn't get the call she was supposed to on Thursday. On Friday, mother's intuition was kicking in. She knew something wasn't right. Kathy told Smoky Bar News that as soon as she got off work, she tried getting into contact with Jennifer the only way she knew how, but she just could not connect with her. Jennifer was particularly close with her grandmother, so Kathy tried to see if grandma knew where she was, and she said no, she hadn't heard from her. Not one single friend, not one family had heard a single thing. On Tuesday, March 23rd, 2004, Kathy did see Jennifer and Adriana at the doctor's office for the infection. So that was prior to the day she went missing. And that was the last day that Jennifer seen her mom in person. At this point, she said that with Jennifer missing, can't find Adriana, they were just, you know, not really getting along with Joey's parents. But again, they were trying to be kosher because they just really wanted to know where Adriana and Jennifer are. Jennifer's aunt stated in an interview that she told Jennifer that she was going to be leaving a key for her in case her and Adriana wanted to come to her house because she was only 2.5 miles down the road. Now, this phone call has not been 100% verified, but they never showed up because the key was still there and nothing was disturbed. She and Adriana just simply disappeared. At first, they were like, you know what? No one really thought anything because it's not that uncommon to skip a day of not talking. But when Friday rolled around, Kathy recalled that Jennifer was on her mind and everything that had happened on Wednesday. And, you know, she was at work. And whenever she gets home from work, she tried reaching out to Jennifer, couldn't get a response, called the boyfriend, the house phone, tried to call anybody that had a phone. No one would answer. And Kathy's like, okay, something's wrong. But again, still not super uncommon for Jennifer not to speak to someone for a day or two. Kathy tried to go to sleep on Friday. Throughout the day and evening, Jennifer's grandmother called and wakes up Kathy and says, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Jennifer's missing. And she said that, you know, she tried getting a hold of Joey. She called the aunt. Nobody was answering. Joey told Jennifer's aunt that Jennifer did come by the house because she had tax return money. It was about $500. It was deposited into their account, and she wanted her money because she didn't have her own bank account. And they said that they were also trying to give her the money, but they couldn't find it to give it to her, which seems kind of sketchy too. Like, I don't know. I feel like, why do you have her money? And I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, you're just going to show up and be like, oh, hey, I'm here to give Jennifer her money. Like, no one else has seen her days. Like, I don't know.
That's sketchy.
The whole shady thing just seems kind of big red off. Flags. Yeah. Like, Jennifer's sister, she finally got in touch with Joey, and she said that Joey said that they broke up. And then he dropped Jennifer and Adriana off at a local gas station. Meanwhile, he told Jennifer's cousin, Jeremy, that Jennifer had gone to a friend's house and he was referring to Jennifer's friend, Helga. Now, this was also the same night that there was a bonfire party. You know, it was supposed to be a couple's party. And Jennifer's cousin stated that there were two other couples there, but it was kind of awkward and weird because it was all planned, but Joey showed up by himself. So, like, where's Jennifer?
Right. And, like, the two different stories, too, is like, okay, sir, like, we're side-eyeing you.
He said that she was at a friend's house. The same night, he told two people two different things about Jennifer. And then Saturday morning, in the super early hours of the morning, is when enough was enough and they put out a missing report. Kathy called Helga first thing on Saturday, and Helga told her that, you know, she felt something was very wrong because she hadn't heard from Jennifer either. Saturday, March 27th, Kathy filed the missing reports for Jennifer and Adriana. The Robertson County Sheriff's Department issued a BOLO for Jennifer and Adriana on Saturday night. And they sent a deputy to do a welfare check at the Benton home. Now, I had to look up what BOLO was because I had never heard of that term.
I was just about to ask.
And the term is an acronym for be on the lookout. So Kathy's family is kind of upset anyway because it wasn't even a full missing report. It was just like, keep your eye open.
Yeah.
So they were kind of like bummed about that. Joey was the only one home, said the officer. He said that Joey told him if he wanted to come in the house, he had to get a warrant. Joey told the deputy that essentially he and Jennifer argued. They broke up. She asked for a ride to the grocery store and Cross Plains so she could use a phone. Like, you can't let her use your freaking cell phone.
Right. And it's like, first it's the gas station, then it's her friend's house, now it's the grocery store. It's like, how have you told people so many different versions?
He said he drove her and Adriana to an Exxon gas station near exit 112 off the Interstate 65 around 9:30 p.m. So you're going to let this single little girl, because Jennifer was not very big, and this little toddler at 9:30 at night off of a freeway exit, you're just going to let him get out of the car and say peace?
And if he did, that just proves, again, how shitty of a person he is. If that's true and he actually did that, that's still really shitty.
He claims that he parked in a church lot across the street and watched them leave in a white four-door early 90s model mid-size car, but he didn't see who was driving. Joey told the authorities that the following day, Jennifer came to the Benton house alone, driving the same white car. She asked for her income tax refund money because they deposited it into Joey's parents' account, but he said she didn't have, because she didn't have her own account, but Joey said her parents weren't home, so she'd have to come back. So she gathered some items, including clothing, Adriana's diaper bag, and left saying she would be back for the money. But her family said that she left behind personal items, essentially, that she would not leave without, including her glasses, a toothbrush, toiletries, Adriana's car seat, and the most notable thing that she left was one of Adriana's toys, and it was her favorite toy. It was her Elmo. She was obsessed with it. She wouldn't go anywhere without it. Adriana loved that so much that Kathy actually got a tattoo of Elmo on her leg.
Aww.
Jennifer's family found the whole story extremely suspicious. And they knew no one in a white car, and Jennifer would not have left with anybody in a white car. The smaller circle of friends that she did have that her family knew, those are the people that she would have called, and none of them got a phone call. When the detectives asked Joey if he could identify the make and model of a car, he said one that didn't exist. He said a white four-door Mustang or Camaro.
My dude.
And they're like, that really doesn't exist. And then they're like, he's super idiot because he works on cars all the time. So you'd think he would know that Mustangs are not four doors. Like,
yeah, even if he was like, make, like, if he made this all up, right, and he works on cars, like, you would think he could just, like, come up with one, or at least, like, have a plan of to say one in his head, but he says one that doesn't even exist, like, ugh.
Yeah, like, that just shows you, like, how much of an idiot he is.
For real.
So, Jennifer's sister quoted, and so we believe, like, I mean, that's just an error on his part. Maybe just not knowing another model of a car to say. I'm not for sure, but it doesn't exist. And, you know, I think he was just kind of like, if you look up the most common car, like, it's a white four-door car. So that was maybe his brain, like, trying to theorizing it. But I'm like, I think the whole story was fabricated. The family also learned that on Thursday, March 25th, Joey had gotten a ride to work in Franklin from Jeff, which is Jennifer's cousin, and Jeff informed the police that Joey walked up to him after taking a call at work abruptly and said, "I have to leave right now." Joey said it involved a family matter. They left Franklin, drove back to Springfield, and that was the last day anyone heard from Jennifer. The Benton family initially agreed to search the home and the property, or let searchers look at the home and property. March 29th, Robinson County Sheriff deputies conducted a walkthrough of the home looking for anything pointing to foul play or signs of a struggle. Police said that they have conducted several searches of some areas of the property and turned up no sign of Jennifer or Adriana, including draining a pond on the property. The Benton family was questioned but claimed to know nothing. After four searches, they stopped cooperating with the investigation. Joey did submit a polygraph, which he passed. They did try to give Joey a second one, but all of a sudden, you can hear Joey's dad shouting in the background from wherever he was in the building. Joey got really upset, ripped everything off, and walked out. And he ended up not taking it, and he declined to take a second one. Kathy took time to work to plaster posters and flyers all over the neighborhood, trying to drum up any leads that she could, but no one was forthcoming. The Robertson County Sheriff's Department said that they were working with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, or NCCMEC, to obtain a national public publicity for the case. Many tips were called in, but nothing led to finding the pair. According to a medium, on the third anniversary of Jennifer and Adriana's disappearance, detectives admitted that they now are investigating it as to be a double homicide. They said that they had tracked down leads in California, Florida, Michigan, Oklahoma, but found no trace of the pair. Lieutenant Bennett told reports that he assumed that the mother and daughter were no longer alive. He quoted, "With all these sightings and nothing to concrete, we have to presume that they are dead," he said. His agency later worked with Nick Meck, and they released an age processing photo showing what Adriana might look like as a 9-year-old, and that was in July of 2011. Again, tips led nowhere. By 2013, the case was reclassified as a homicide. Robertson County authorities had a press conference saying they believe Jennifer and Adriana were dead. And they quote, "We've developed some new information in the past several weeks that brings us to the conclusion that there was foul play involved." Sheriff Bill Holt announced that he went on, "And we are pursuing that as we speak, that they are going to renew effort between Tennessee Bureau of Investigation and the Robertson County Sheriff Department," end quote. In accompanying a press release, Robinson County Sheriff Department said, quote, "Despite countless of hours of investigation and numerous interviews over the past 9 years by Robinson County deputies and other law enforcement agencies, Joey Benton, his assertion of taking Jennifer and Adriana to the grocery store, the Exxon gas station, and then seeing Jennifer following a day, it was never really independently corroborated," end quote. Sheriff Holt would not come out and say that Joey was a suspect. he would only offer that he had not been eliminated as a suspect either. Joey's grandmother, Carol Benton, spoke to Tennessee Sheriff and said she claimed that the family had been cooperative initially. She said, quote, "I'm sorry she went missing. Don't get me wrong. We love that little girl, but she's not on our property and we know nothing about it," end quote. It's a little cold.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to like brush it off almost.
The Bentons refused to permit any additional law enforcement searches of their property at the time. According to the Tennessee's 2013 article, the last time investigators asked to search the property, it was several years ago. Carol Benton said, adding to the family, they refused to let them in then. However, she acknowledged, "I don't think they ever had another suspect other than Joey." In February 2014, Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam announced that he was issuing a $15,000 reward for any information leading to the arrest, conviction of the person or persons responsible for the disappearance of Jennifer and Adriana. The family raised an additional $10,000 for the reward fund, which remains at $25,000 right now. Jennifer's mother, Kathy, and sister Casey have made it their mission to keep Jennifer and Adriana in the public eye. They have hosted vigils, bike rallies, balloon releases, and billboards. They have kept this case in the forefront by using social media, and in 2021 conducted a private cadaver dog search to the Benton family's property. The dogs alerted in the woods, but digging yielded nothing, and there has been no follow-up by law enforcement. In 2022, Tennessee officials released another age process photo of Adriana Wicks. As of 2023, the case has been assigned to a new detective within Robertson County Sheriff Department. If anyone is listening has any information on the disappearance of Jennifer and Adriana Wicks, please call Robertson County Sheriff's Department at 615-384-7981. Or the TBI at 1-800-TBI-FIND. It looks like there is still updates if you Google it, but there is no one suspect. There is some update stuff, but everything is kind of like hush-hush, kept to the vest. I think they're still trying to figure out where Joey played a part in this.
Oh, that's so sad. It's just that, I don't know, that it's been such a long time. And like you said, the fact that it wasn't just, you know, just one person missing, but her and her child both. My theory is kind of like his mom did something, and then that's when he got the call at work, and then he left, and then they tried to like do stuff and like cover everything up. Because it's like, also, why would you not allow searches at your home if you weren't guilty? You know what right. I mean?
Yeah, my theory is that either Joey did something that he couldn't take back, or mom did something, whether it was struck her, shot her, something. And then obviously they had to get rid of the baby because, you know, whatever. And then Joey had to either take his whole family down, which if he's a mama's boy, then he was probably brainwashed and, you know, gaslighted and all these things. You're going to go down to, you're going to get in trouble, blah, 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 whatever, X, Y, and Z. And he went with it. Or again, like I said, Joey, there has even been some whispers of her cousin Jeff even being involved because Joey and Jeff were such tight bros, but that was also speculation as well.
Oh, it just makes me sick. Like when people get away with this, you know what I mean? I hope that whoever has something to do with this doesn't get away with it in the end, but just the fact that it's been so many years is like, it just makes it harder and harder the more that time passes. So it just makes me so mad when people like that get away with those things.
Yeah. And the sister even said, she's like, we know that there's cases, you know, like the Havaro story, where the girl comes back, but she's like, realistically, like we don't feel it. We feel like she's gone, you know?
That's so sad. Gone. Like, yeah.
And they just want justice. They want the bodies to be presumed so they can, you know, bury the mother and the daughter in a spot that maybe the family can go and visit and show love, and just to have that closure of like, yes, somebody did something to her. Now let's find justice for Jennifer and Adriana.
Right. Cause I mean, to sit there for those many years and just have to wonder like what happened and who did it to them is like, it has to be just torture in your mind.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
Ugh. Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's one of those cases like we've talked about before, where even though so many years go by, something happens and something pops up and it leads them to something, which leads them to answers and justice, basically.
Yeah, basically just at this point, justice, and someone will speak up and be like, yes, I know where they are. Just let them have the justice they need, the closure they need. It's at this point, the unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's such a sad story.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. That's what we do. I have to expect it, you know?
If I'm talking about, you know, funfetti all the time, you're probably going to think I'm on the wrong podcast.
Right. That'd be the Situations podcast.
I see what you did there.
Yep.
Good old Sitch.
Well, sad story, Lo, but good. Good to spread it out there. So if anybody hears it or something, you never know.
Did you get the video I sent you? Dex was in the D for the Lions game.
Yes. Also, that he was, you sent me another one too when he was at the one award show watching the Lions or whatever.
Oh, yes.
He is a true stan.
He's like, when you're at the Golden Globes, but the Lions game is on.
Yeah, he's like, priorities. I need to watch the game.
So sadly, our Lions got kicked out. We are no longer running for Super Bowl, but
yeah,
we did good. I'm still proud of the team. 18-2, that's not bad, you know. Like,
oh, I mean, seriously, coming back from where they were at like just a few years ago, like they're killing it.
My daughter's friend was here, and she said that her, because I said something about her mom and dad getting tickets, and she said it's freaking ridiculous. She's like, my parents paid $500 a piece for freaking standing room.
Oh, I would never. I mean, no judgment, I know. But I, dude, would, you better really get, never.
You better get my ass a folding chair or a cooler to sit on, like,
yeah,
security to hold me. I don't know, something.
Man, you could just like tailgate and then like sit down at a bar, watch it or something.
Well, the client that I was at today, they're hardcore football people. They even had a picture of their little dog in a jersey. It was super cute. And they said that they went to a few games this year, but they said they probably won't go next year because tickets are going up even more by next year. And he said, it's really sad when you're there. He's like, because all the tickets seems like they're getting bought up by corporate people. So they, corporates buy them and hand them out to employees and, you know, whatever. He says it's not the father-son football game that you used to see, like, back in the day, you know.
That is
like,
sad.
Like, the regular people, like us, like, unless you got season tickets or, you know, can get your hands on some, there are ways where, like, on game days, some people just throw out tickets super cheap because they can't go. But he said it's getting harder and harder for the average person just to go.
Oh, yeah. Most people literally cannot even come close to affording those tickets. It's wild. It's, like, absurd how much they are.
I know.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm just holding out for Marshall. You heard us.
Yeah, I know. We got to wait for the announcement. It'll probably be soon, right? I would assume.
And I think on sale. Summer DTE, Bon Jovi is coming, too.
Okay. He's not really my...
Well, if they're cheap and I buy you a ticket, you're fucking gone.
Okay.
You can live on a prayer for one night, okay?
Yeah, I know a couple.
You'd have fun. You'd have fun.
Yeah.
So especially if Charlotte's driving by then, she can drive our drunk asses home.
That's so crazy. What the heck? I know. That's wild to think about.
I know, it scares me. The driving's been kind of slow go just because she makes me nervous. So.
Well, especially now, winter, not a fun time to
practice. Oh, yeah, no, I put a pin in it right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good because then at least, like, she could practice, like, in the winter, which, you know, is necessary. But also when it's, like, first learning, it's, like, probably best to just stay on, like, dry roads.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I freaking get scared driving on the snowy roads, so... Yeah. Yep. Damn.
Well, welcome back to the D. We missed you, KK.
Thanks. I miss my people, not the weather.
And I'm going to go crawl on the couch with my situation.
Nice. Ooh. Scandalous. And
continue reading. And we will be back again next week for another HWC story.
So we'll catch you then, guys.
On that note, we got to go.
And stay creepy.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.